to my face. And you know, it's a day that throughout the world, churches gather together and they do a sunrise service, or they just do the Resurrection Sunday service, and everybody's rejoicing and there's joy, and the kids come to church, and people that may have not come to church otherwise, they come to church, and there's just this joy. But the first Sunday wasn't like that. The first Sunday, the church was hopeless. They weren't celebrating. You see, they had pinned their hopes on this man that they have walked with for 3 years. And all of a sudden, they see all their hopes at the cross just dash. He dies. He is hung at the cross. And he gives up his spirit. And they think all is lost. They had forgotten what Jesus said. They had forgotten the word of God that predicted, that prophesied that the Messiah would come, that he would suffer, that he would be crucified, but he would rise again. And their grief, they had forgotten. And there was unbelief. And that's where we pick up this Sunday. We pick up on Luke 24. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Luke 24 with me. And as you're doing that, as you're opening up your Bibles, if you need one, there's some on front, on both sides, and on back. I want to share a story that happened many years ago in our lives, in my family. You guys remember The Passion of the Christ, and when that movie came out, we took the family to go see it, and my kids, I think my daughter was about 9 years old, my son about seven or so. And I remember as we went to see that movie, it was just incredible. As we watched just these last hours of our Lord and how they portrayed it and how real and just it was so emotional. And what I had not noticed for a bit is that my kids were just watching so intently. And my son, he was looking as our Lord was crucified. And as he was beaten, he was battered, he was bruised. He was scourged, and how it depicted the scene. And you guys have seen that. Some of you may have seen that. I didn't want to show that today because we have kids as a family service. But as he saw that, he started sobbing. He was sobbing, and as he saw our Lord crucified. And I just remembered how, just looking over, and how my heart just hurt for him. And he thought the movie was over. And he thought, what a sad ending. He didn't do anything. It was Jesus. He didn't do anything. He thought, is this where it ends? And you can see he didn't have hope. He was sobbing. And just remember, we were all full of tears. The whole family was crying. But then the scene of the resurrection came up, and he quickly sat up and asked, is that the same guy? He's like, is that him? And we looked over, and us too, we were like trying to compose ourselves. And we said, yes. And all of a sudden, his countenance changed. Everything changed, and he was happy. He realized that Jesus did not stay dead. That was not the end of the story. The cross was not the end. The tomb was not the end. But there's many today that don't know that. There's many today. I remember before coming to know the Lord, even a little while afterwards, it seemed like I didn't quite grasp it. But before coming to know the Lord, I thought, well, he's crucified. I've seen the necklaces. He's still on the cross. And I thought he stayed dead. And I didn't quite understand. There's many that don't understand. That's just half the story. He paid for our sins. It was a price he had to pay. But he rose again. And as we look at Luke's account of the resurrection, we're going to pick up actually a little before chapter 24. Back up a little with me. Look at chapter 23, verse 50, just so we can get a flow of where we're at today. And if you follow along with me, and I'm just doing a flyby, guys, of this chapter. So there's a lot. When we get there, we're in Luke. We just started the gospel according to Luke. When we get here, we're going to harmonize the gospel. We're going to see the events, how they come together, how John gives his account, how Mark, and then how Matthew, and so forth. But right now, we're just going to do a flyby. Take a look at God's word with me. By the way, God's word is powerful. It's supernatural. If you guys don't know that, know that it is. It changes lives. God's word is supernatural. And as we follow along, it speaks to us. Verse 50 says, "Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member." In other words, he was part of the Sanhedrin. "A good man, a just man. He had not consented to their decision indeed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. That day was a preparation day, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned to prepare spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment." It was Friday, and the Bible tells us that at 3 o'clock, that Jesus gave up his spirit. And he breathed his last breath, and there was an earthquake at that time. And it was a preparation day. It was a day before the Sabbath. So in reality, they only had 3 hours before the Sabbath to sundown when the next day would begin. So Joseph, a council member, part of the Sanhedrin, and the Bible also tells us that Nicodemus was with them, that he went to Pilate and he asked for the body of Jesus. All this prophetic. The Word of God tells us this hundreds of years before. And he goes and asks for the body. And they bring down the body, and then they put him in that tomb that no one had ever lain before. And the women, they were following. They wanted to know where he was going to be at because, listen, they didn't have time to prepare the body. They didn't have time to prepare his burial, and they were planning to come back. So they followed, they go, they see where they put him in the tomb, where they lay him to rest. And you can only imagine the grief that they were in, the sadness. If we only had chapter 23 in Luke, we would not be here today. Listen, if it ended at the cross, if it ended there, that he was laid in the tomb, we would not be here today celebrating Resurrection Sunday, the fact that he's alive. But that's not the case. There's more. And as we saw in the video, that was Friday, but today is Sunday. So let's pick it up right there in chapter 24. Take a look at God's word with me. "Now on the first day of the week, Sunday, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." Imagine their shock. They come, they follow, they knew that that's where he was laid to rest. And think about this with me. How were they going to roll away that stone? But all those things didn't matter. They were going back. And as they get there, they find that the stone was rolled away. The Bible tells us that there was an earthquake then as well. There was an earthquake when Jesus breathed his last breath, and there was an earthquake when Jesus rose from the dead. And they come to the tomb, and all of a sudden they don't find the body of our Lord Jesus. Now, during this time, it's possible, as you harmonize the gospel, you look at the gospel according to John, it says that Mary was there as well, and it appears like she was there before, and she sees this, and then she takes off and goes and finds the apostles, but the other women stay there. When you harmonize them, that's the picture it brings together. But let's take a look at verse 4. It says, "And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them," listen to what they say, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. is risen. Amen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Jesus, on several occasions, he had told them that the Son of Man would be delivered to the Gentiles, that he would be mocked, spit upon, he would be scourged, and he would be crucified. But on the third day, he would rise again. When he was in the temple, he said, "Destroy this body, and in 3 days," he said, "destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." Speaking of his body. And he would turn often to his disciples and let them know that he was going down to Jerusalem and suffer these things. But listen, they only heard the first part. And they would push it away. They wanted the king, the Messiah, that would reign forever. And these women, they had forgotten that. In their grief, they had forgotten Jesus' words. And I think that it's understandable as they saw Jesus' body hanging on the cross and then put into the tomb, and then that stone rolled in place. Imagine, if you will, this is no different than going to a funeral and they lower the coffin, and all of a sudden that dirt is poured in, and there's a finality to things. You guys know what that's like. It's like, wow, what happened? Unbelief. Although as Christians, we know that's not the end. Temporary separation. But they're on that side of the cross. And they thought, wow, that's the end. And they came. They came with the purpose of anointing his body. And listen, maybe you can relate. Maybe you have gone through a season. I know it's been a rough season. This winter has been different for us. We've been here 8 years. And this winter, I can honestly say, has been the toughest winter for us. And I know for many of you as well. And maybe you can relate to this, that in the season of hardship, of grief, maybe sickness, whatever it may be, that we can forget God's promises. We can forget his word. We can forget that Jesus is coming back. And listen, he's coming back soon. All you got to do is look at the news and see what's going on. And yes, that brings the spirit of the heart to see the things going on. But it also brings me joy because I know that his return draws near. And there's no denying it. But notice as well that in their grief, God sends messengers to remind them of his word, of his promises to them. And that's what the word angel means. The word angel means messenger. But listen, God does that with us as well. When we're in that place of despair, that place that we have forgotten, the place of pain, God sends messengers as well. He may send other people, other believers. It may come from the pulpit. It may come through the radio. God sends messengers to remind you of his love, his grace, and his promises in your life. He doesn't leave us in that state. He loves us. That's what happened to these women. God sent angels. And the message that they bring changed history. They had the best news ever. Ever. They said, "He is not here, but is risen." Hallelujah, he's alive. Listen, we don't serve a man that died. We don't follow a man that died at the cross, didn't rise again. We follow a risen Savior. We follow the Son of God. And the Bible says, because he lives, we will live also. Amen? He is the first fruits of the resurrection. You know who's to follow? Us. Us. He's given us a promise. How amazing is that? And we can smile and we can be joyful. Because we know, listen, this time here is temporary. And yes, there's pain and yes, there's sorrow, but there is joy in the midst of that. Our Lord is good and his word is sure. Verse 8, and they remembered his words. Notice, with these messengers, they reminded them. And all of a sudden, they remember his words. And they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. In other words, fairy tales. They're like, no. Hey, were you skeptic at one time of the resurrection? Listen, the apostles were the original skeptics. And they had walked with him for 3 years. They had seen him give sight to the blind. He had made the lame walk. He had healed diseases. In fact, if you remember that the widow at Nain raised her child, right? Jairus' daughter raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. In fact, only days earlier, he had raised Lazarus from the dead, from the tomb. And it was a picture of what was going to happen. Only a few days earlier, he had done that. And it was to say, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. But they had forgotten that. It only been a few days. And they had forgotten. But here they are in this situation. The woman says, they bring this news and they think, these are fairy tales. And it says, they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves. And he departed. Notice, he departed marveling to himself at what had happened. Peter goes and he's baffled. He's not sure what happens. He sees that the tomb is empty. And by the way, a good point to remember always is that that stone was rolled away not so Jesus could get out, but that the women could look in and the men could look in into an empty tomb. And he went and he looked in and he was perplexed and he marveled. But listen, he was unsure. At that point, he did not believe. However, John, you remember John, the apostle of love? He refers to himself as the apostle or the disciple that Jesus loved, which I love that title. Because listen, I refer to myself that way. You should refer to yourself that way too, because, man, we have a personal relationship with him. Nevertheless, in his account, he says, it wasn't only Peter that ran, guys. I ran with them, and by the way, I outran them to the tomb. I got there first. I just want you to know, for all eternity, that I beat him on that race, getting to the tomb. But then he says that he didn't go in, that he looked in. And then that Peter came and he went on inside. And then Peter came out and he left. And then it says that he went in. And he makes it a point to say, and he believed. So John didn't just want you to know that he beat him to the tomb. He also wants you to know that he also beat Peter as far as being the first to believe. There's no competition there, guys. But he saw and he believed. How amazing. And the other gospel accounts also tells us that really the first person that Jesus appeared to was Mary, and then to the other women. And later on, he's going to have a private meeting also with Peter, all in the same day. But not only that, there was also a couple of other men that Jesus wanted to reach that day. Take a look at verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. Imagine this. You had two men, two disciples, that had lost all hope. They were disillusioned. Jesus was gone, and perhaps they wondered if for 3 years they foolishly followed a man, that it was 3 years wasted. Possibly that was going through their heads. Their hopes died with him. And these men were leaving the feast in Jerusalem. That was a week long. And they were making their way back home. They were going back to their old lives. It's like they're saying, wow, this happened and I'm just not going to stay here. I don't know. I'm heading back to my old life. There are many today that at one time were walking with Jesus, reading their Bibles, serving the Lord. They were just so joyful. They were in church if the door was open, if the day ended with why they were there. And for some reason, something happened that they were disillusioned. And they were disappointed. Maybe things didn't turn out the way they hoped. And they found themselves leaving, walking away. And they went back to their own lives, back to the world, back to the things way were, the things that, the way their life was before Jesus. And maybe Maybe there's someone like that here today. Maybe someone's here for the first time in a long time. Maybe someone's here because they sort of felt compelled by their wives or by their husband. Or maybe they said, hey, it's the one time a year I just go and I just do it. But in your hearts, you know that you don't want to be here. And maybe what I just said describes you. Maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart today. Maybe. God has a way of doing that. Listen, it's not by chance that you're here today. God is speaking to you. He's calling you back. He is the good shepherd. He leaves the 99 and goes after that one. And you know that he's been doing that. It's an amazing thing that he does. And maybe people failed you. Maybe you were hurt by a church. Maybe it was your own expectations. But let me tell you this thing for sure, that it wasn't Jesus that failed you. It wasn't Jesus. So, verse 15, so it was while they converse and reason that Jesus himself drew near. Notice, as they were reasoning, they were talking, that Jesus drew near to them and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. These men were pondering what happened, and as they were pondering, as they were reasoning in their mind, what our hopes are dashed, Jesus drew near to them. And the Bible says that the Lord draws near those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Isn't that amazing? He drew near to them. Verse 17, he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Notice that they're sad. Their countenance is down. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that, and have you not known the things which happen there in these days? How could you not know? Everybody knows what happened. They're telling Jesus what happened to Jesus. And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the thing concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were, notice the past tense, hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Hoping that he was the Messiah, the Christ, that would establish his eternal kingdom right then and there, that they would rule and reign with him. And they go on and says, indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. These men had lost all hope. They were hoping, they said. They spoke in the past tense, perhaps wondering, really, what does all this mean? They're confused. They're sad, the Bible says. But notice how Jesus corrects their thinking by bringing them back to his word, bringing them back to the Bible. And listen, we need our thinking corrected on a daily basis. We need to come back to God's word that he can align our hearts with his heart. We need correct thinking. Listen to what he says. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. He said, look, your Bible, the law and the prophets, they all have spoken of this. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And notice this Bible study. He brings him back to the very beginning. He says, And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded or explained to them all the scriptures, the things concerning who? Himself. Can you imagine this Bible study? Man, some of you prophet, what's the word that you like prophecy a lot? You probably, man, you couldn't take notes fast enough. From the beginning, actually all of us, right? Where does it say from the beginning, Genesis 3? the seed. Genesis 22, seeing that Isaac was a representation of Jesus. Can you imagine just going through the Bible, through the Psalms and everything, and Jesus said, in the volume of the books is written of me. Hey guys, when you open up your Bible, whatever book you're in, it points to Jesus. Whatever book that you're in the Old Testament, it points to Jesus. Every book in the Bible points to him. And listen, there is not a book out of 27 books in the New Testament. They all testify of his resurrection, that he is risen. What an awesome Bible study, I imagine. Look at what happens next. Verse 28, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him. They say, hey, hold on. Saying, abide with us. I love those words, abide with us. Have you asked Jesus to abide with you? For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. These men heard the word of God and wanted more. And I don't want us to miss this. Notice that when they invited Jesus to stay with them, Jesus accepted the invitation. You notice that? Listen, Jesus will not force his way into your home or into your life. You have to invite him in. In fact, the Bible says, Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, listen what he says. I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. And that's what's going to happen right now as we continue reading here. So church, I ask you, maybe there's someone here who has not invited Jesus into their life, into their home. Today's the day, the Bible says. Today's the day. You don't let that day pass you by. Notice what happens next as Jesus opened up the Bible, the scriptures to them. Notice there's revival in their hearts. Listen, by the way, if you feel that you're in that place of dryness, if you feel like, man, I that relationship is dead, I just don't know. Open up the Word of God. Open up the Word. The answer is the Word of God. The answer is prayer. You want revival in your heart? Read the word daily. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. Notice that. Here it is. He walked. They invite him. He comes on in. They break bread. And then it says they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. Listen, you invite Jesus in, you'll know him. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? I remember years ago, as a teenager, we were a little rowdy as teenagers and lived in a rough neighborhood. And mom did all she can to try to keep us out of trouble, out of gangs, out of all these things. And one of the things she did is she invited Jehovah's Witnesses to come in. Now, we grew up not religious home, sort of. Anyway, she didn't know any better. She just thought, well, they'll give something, and you know, maybe they'll get away from this. They'll learn about God, and they would come and give us lessons for almost 2 years. I hardly remember anything of it, but I do remember this: that one day there was a man that came into my home, and he opened up the Bible, and he started sharing what the Bible said. And truly, while he opened up the scriptures to us, my heart burned. I knew that was the truth. I knew that that was God's word. I was just a kid. Whatever else was here was not the truth. But opening up the word of God, all of a sudden, man, I knew. I was like, wow, this is the word of God. And I remember that. Listen, when we hear the word of God, you know, you're like, that is the word of God. So what happened? What did they do? It says that they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They walked away, but not anymore. Now they're running back. And listen, maybe you walked away. You need to run back. Run back to Jesus. Jesus. and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. They say, "Hey, listen, this is what happened." They're excited. The disciples are excited. These disciples are excited. They're saying, "Look, the Lord is risen." They're like, we know. We broke bread with him. We didn't know until this time. He made himself known. He's alive. And that changed everything. It was a sad day until they discovered Jesus is alive. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit, and said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself." And he says, "Handle me, touch me, and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." Wow. They were frightened. They said, "What's going on?" Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? He rose from the dead. There he is. You'd be afraid too. I'd be afraid too, momentarily. And look at what he does. He says, "Handle me. Touch me." Listen, Jesus is personal. It's a personal relationship. He says, "Know that it is me." But the Bible tells us that there was one that was not there at that time, and we'll discuss it in a little bit here. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food?" He says, "Look, I'm going to eat. I'm going to meet you guys where you're at." So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. How amazing. Incredible. That was that evening. That was Sunday. Back in the evening, all these people saw him. But why don't you turn with me to John chapter 20? Because as I said earlier, there was one that was not there with them. Verse 24. John chapter 20. In his account, he says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Jesus showed him his hands, showed him his feet. He says, "Look, touch me, feel me. It is I." Thomas says, "I don't only want to see, I want to touch him. I want to touch those scars." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands a print of the nails and put my finger into the prints of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, notice, Thomas was in unbelief for 8 days. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside. Can you imagine the scene here? A whole week, Thomas, listen, he's alive. "Look, we ate with him. We touched him. We saw him on the road." The women say, "Thomas, look, he's alive." And for 8 days, he wouldn't believe. He says, "Nope. I don't care what you saw. I need to know for myself." So after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Listen, Jesus always brings peace into our lives. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Did you guys get that? "My Lord and my God." Jesus is Lord and he is God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's you and I, church. We've not seen yet. We believe. Listen, there's a lot more. I don't want to hold you here. We got the kiddos. It's exciting. It's an exciting day. Would you not say so? Jesus is alive. You can clap. You can give the Lord a hand. Amen. As Cassie comes up and leads us into worship, I just want to close with this. Maybe you're here today and you've walked away from the Lord. Maybe you're here and you've never known the Lord. Maybe you're here and only had half the story. And listen, you realize that Jesus is alive. And you realize that He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to give you a new life. He wants a relationship with you. And maybe you've been running from Him. Listen, today's the day. It will be the best decision in your life. Best decision in your life. And here's the thing, though. The sad thing is that not everybody accepts the invitation. And here's the sad part of this. That there will be a day for those that continuously reject them, that they will no longer hear the voice of God. They will no longer hear that invitation. And it'll be too late. So the Bible says, listen, if you heard His voice today, today's the day. Turn to Him. And we have people on back that are happy to pray with you. They will be happy to lead you into a prayer and to knowing the Lord, receiving Him. So I would encourage you, as Cassie leads us and Josh into worship, just go back there and pray with them. Or maybe, listen, you've been running away. Maybe you backslid. Maybe you were hurt and now you're coming back to the church. And you just need prayer. You need God to wash over you. You need prayer. There's many people here that would love to pray with you. Amen? Jesus is alive. Amen. Father, we thank You. You are so good. You're so gracious. We love You. We praise You. Lord, You're alive. We follow the Son of God who rose from the dead, the first fruits of the resurrection. And You love us, Lord. You've shown us Your love at the cross, how much You loved us. And then the resurrection proving that You are who You said You are. So we just thank You today. We love You. And it is in Your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.